In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Many happy returns to you all. Today is the Paramon of the Feast of the Theophany, or the Epiphany, in which we celebrate the beginning of the ministry there of our Lord Jesus Christ after his baptism. In preparation for the Feast of the Theophany this evening and the readings for the Paramon, the Church reminds us of the ministry of St. John the Baptist. Because it was St. John the Baptist came as a forerunner before the Lord and came to prepare the way for the Lord. So it speaks about his ministry, and for this Paramon period. And it spoke in the Gospel today is from Luke chapter 3. And it spoke and said that he went into all the regions of the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So St. John the Baptist was preparing the people how, by preparing them for repentance and telling them to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and this will give you the remission and forgiveness of your sins. So he preached the necessity of repentance prior to the coming of the Messiah, the one who would take away the sins of the world. But then he says something, you know, that caught my attention, and he says to the people, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. And actually, the worthy here in the original text is in Greek. It means axios. And we say this often, right? So axios means like befitting or worthy. For here, they choose the term worthy. But we can't confuse this. Sometimes because we might read this quickly and it might think it says, bear fruits worthy of forgiveness. But this isn't the case, right? It's not bear fruits worthy of forgiveness because we don't get forgiveness because of some work that we did. We get forgiveness because of what Christ did on the cross for us, right? But here he's saying bear fruits worthy of your repentance, like of repentance, that is befitting your repentance. And it's interesting here to note that the same passage was mentioned in Matthew and the same one was mentioned in Luke, both chapter 3. In Matthew's Gospel, it said that the Lord here says when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. So in Matthew's Gospel, he addresses the same warning to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And not just because they're the elders. So in Luke's Gospel, he says that he said the same thing to the multitude. So St. John here was preaching the same message of repentance to those who, the Pharisees and Sadducees, as well as all the people. So he wasn't coming to flatter the great or to compliment the many, but he gave the same rebuke and warning for sin to all. And this is a message to all of us. The same message, whether rich, poor, young, old, the message is the same. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. So we'll speak a few moments about bearing fruits or befitting repentance. What are the fruits that are befitting my repentance? What makes my repentance, you know, when God looks at my repentance, he looks at it as being something that is sincere and something that is befitting a person who is repenting. My repentance must be fruitful. We saw this from the Gospel of today. Repentance without fruitful repentance is useless. He says what in verse 3? He says, therefore, so after he speaks about bearing fruits worthy of repentance, he says what? Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So he's making reference back here to our repentance, the fruit of our repentance. If it's not good fruit, then what happened? The axe is laid to the root and it's cut down and thrown into the fire. So it's a strong warning to us all, myself being the first, in our repentance. So what are the fruits of a befitting repentance? Number one is faith, of course. Faith. We must understand and believe that when we come to God repentant, and we come offer our confession, that we receive forgiveness. Sometimes because of my own insecurity, or because perhaps I you know, I was dealt maybe in a harsh way when I was younger, and I felt like I was a failure, then we have the same kind of sense with God, that when I come and confess to Him, He's not going to forgive me easily, because I wasn't forgiven easily, or I have a sense of insecurity in myself. But St. John reminds us of the promise of the Lord. He says, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. So He says, if you confess that He is faithful, that we will receive forgiveness. So anytime we come to confession, we have to believe that if we come truly in an honest way and come and repent, that He will grant us this forgiveness. The problem with the Jews at the time, however, they felt that they were righteous, not because of the repentance, because of who they were, their status. They thought that because they were Abraham's children, that they were righteous. So the Jews thought that they would find favor with God because of their ancestry, because they were children of Abraham. But here it's not, you know, God, the Lord makes it very clear that it's not ancestry that makes us worthy of God, but it's but it can help, yani, of course, yani, having the traditions and all of this, this can help us, because they had the tradition of Solomon and David and all these people who offered a genuine repentance, so this would help them. But this is not what made them righteous, right? So having this ancestry would help us repent, but it won't make us righteous before God unless I repent myself. That's why He said to them, we have Abraham. They said, you say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. What He's speaking here is referring back to the stones here. The stones are the Gentiles. So He's telling them, I'm able to raise up children of Abraham from the Gentiles, the ones you call stones. And Phelan, He does. He will open the gates of the church to the Gentiles as well and make them enter even before some of the Jews. So we have to believe that when we come and confess that He will give us this forgiveness because this is His promise. The second thing that's a characteristic of a worthy or a befitting repentance is the change in life, a change in life. The evidence of our repentance should be in our actions. The sincerity of our, if we're really truly sincere in our repentance, there should be some kind of change that happens in my life. Or else I'm just coming to talk with Abuna with no intention of any kind of change, or at least some kind of struggle, right? So if I come, for example, and I come repenting of cheating, then I need to resist the temptation to cheat. Sit in an area where I'm not tempted to cheat off of the neighbor that I think is the smart person in the class. If I'm tempted with the temptation of lying, I need to struggle in telling the truth, regardless of what the consequence is. If I struggle with watching perhaps inappropriate content on the media, I need to be willing to cut off these applications, cut off the TV, cut the cable, go to a basic phone, whatever it might be, right? And this is about evidence that my repentance is sincere. This is evidence of a true and befitting repentance. St. Augustine says, repent of our sins does indeed change us for the better. But even repentance will not appear to be of much use to us if works of mercy do not accompany it. So he's saying, yes, there's a certain element of repentance and it's befitting. But then it must be coupled with some kind of work, something that I'm doing, right? If I do have a bad habit that I picked up from certain friends that I'm hanging out with, then guess what? If my repentance is sincere and it's a worthy, befitting repentance before God, then it ought to be coupled with separating myself from those relationships, right? And, you know, ironically, it's not ironically, but you can look at just at the life of St. Augustine himself. Right, he lived a very promiscuous life in his youth, right? Very promiscuous, and had a son out of wedlock from this woman. But then once he found Christ, and he came and reflected and repented after reading the life of Saint Anthony, and meeting with Saint Ambrose, he changed his life. So when his mistress came back to him, And she said, where is Augustine? She knocked at the door, and he told her, the Augustine that you know is dead, is no longer the one that you know. Because there was a change in his life. There was this change. I'm not going down this road. I'm not having these contacts with those perhaps who've brought me down. It has to be a change. If my repentance is to be fruitful and befitting, then it needs to bear some kind of change in my life. That's why the Lord rebuked the Pharisees and them on a separate occasion. In John 8, he said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So he said, if you were Abraham's children, just do what Abraham did. Have the faith that Abraham did. Have the courage to leave his family and to come after him in a place that was foreign. You know, to go against what maybe was the norm in his family. So he's asking him to do the works of Abraham. So our repentance is fruitful when there's a change in life that occurs. Also, our repentance is fruitful when one judges themselves. When I judge myself, this is a sign that my repentance is fruitful. So the Lord, St. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians, he says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So the person who is sincere about their repentance will come judging themselves, will not come justifying themselves. Right? I can come to Abuna, and I have the sin, and I say the sin. But then everything after the sin is the explanation as to why and who is responsible for the sin that I committed. This is not fruitful repentance. This is about repentance on other people's behalf, you know, justifying oneself, making oneself look better, whatever it might be, right? But it's not a fruitful repentance when I come not judging myself. A great example of this is the parable of the lost son that we read during the Holy Great Fast. This son who took half of his father's inheritance and spent it on prodigal living, right? And in the midst of this, once he finishes all of his father's money and began to be in want, and ended up feeding the pigs, and then desiring the food that the pigs had, he came to his senses. And he said to himself, I will rise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So what? Make me as one of your hired servants. Right? So here he's judging himself, saying that I'm not worthy to be my father's son again. I ought to be his servant. So he judged himself. And then we know the rest of the story. When he finally came home, his father embraced him, was waiting for him, and opened his arms with love and accepted him back as a son or as a servant? As a son. He put on the robe, right? He made a feast for him, put sandals on his feet. All of these things that one would do with a son that was lost, not a son that humiliated him and took half of his inheritance. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. So the person who wants to offer a fruitful repentance will come judging themselves. I am guilty. Not coming justifying myself or putting the blame on others. Also, the fruitful repentance is accepting the consequences and burdens of sin, or of my sin. The person who's truly repentant will accept whatever the consequence of my sin is. As perhaps this is God's way of, you know, reminding me of my fall, lest I fall into the same temptation and sin again. After David had sinned with Bathsheba, there was a child that came from this, you know, unlawful relationship. And to spare David the embarrassment and the burden of this child, God struck the child with a sickness. So David prayed for 7 days that the Lord would heal this child. At the end of 7 days, the child died. And we see here the response of David. It's incredible. He doesn't blame God. He doesn't say, how could you? He doesn't renounce God. But what does he do? It says, David arose from the ground, washed his face, anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. So he went to him and prayed and gave glory to God. Okay? All of this to us doesn't seem like something yani rational. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate. He accepted this. Lord, if this is what you desire, and this is what's going to remind me of my sin, so I don't make the same sin again, I'm accepting this from your hand with thanksgiving and with worship and with praise. So the one who truly wants to have a fruitful repentance will bear the consequence of one's sin and accept it kida as a gift from God, as perhaps this will save me from a further another sin. Whether the burden is humiliation, whether it's embarrassment, maybe I'll be embarrassed in front of my peers, whether it be an inconvenience, or even if it's a sickness, God forbid, even if it's a sickness, I will bear this with thanksgiving and say yani, to him, if this is what it takes. There was a time in David's life when he was established as king that one of the relatives of Saul came and cursed him and said, you're a bloodthirsty king, and so on. So his, you know, general was there and said, just say the word and I'll have his head cut off right now. You know what David told him? Let him. Perhaps God told him to come and curse me. So he accepted this, and perhaps he told himself, this is because of my sin. So he accepted the burden of his sin. This was a sign of true repentance. And I'll accept whatever God yani, gives me as a result. It doesn't mean he doesn't forgive me. No. Forgiveness is one thing, but then yani, the bearing the burden of it is another thing. Right? Same thing with Augustine. If you look at Augustine's life, afterwards, yani, his he and this mistress, they never married one another. She went her way, and he went his way, and he kept the son. And he labored and raised this son, right? To be a God-fearing person. So again, this was a product of an unlawful relationship, but he accepted the burden and said, you know what, I'll take this and whatever else that's included with it as a gift from you. Just accept my repentance and accept me. Lastly, the fruit of a true repentance or a sincere repentance is the sincerity of the heart, the sincerity of the repentance itself. I can't come and repent of sin with a smile on my face, as if yani, this is normal and it's okay and no big deal. No. There's got to be some kind of repulsion to the sin, some kind of disgust with the sin, or some kind of, you know, aversion to the sin, or despising the sin. Because they're saying it casually, this isn't really sincere. What are the chances that I'm going to change my way if I come and confess and I have no remorse? Or I have no, yani, I don't feel bad about it. Oh, nor do I even maybe perhaps identify it as such. Look what the psalmist says. He says, you who love the Lord, hate evil. Hate evil. I can't come loving the sin and loving it and expecting that yani, this is going to be a change in my life. I have to hate the sin and train myself to hate the sin and keep telling myself, if the world is telling me to love the sin, then whatever avenues I have to try as much as I can to cut this off. So they're not influencing me to love the sin, because that's what they want, right? The world and Satan are out to make you love the sin. Because when you love the sin, you'll be his slave forever. Because sin by nature is addicting. Also in Psalm 26, he says, I've hated the assembly of the evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I have hated the assembly of the evildoers. Do I hate the assembly of evildoers, or do I enjoy their company? Do I enjoy the company of those who bring me down, who take me further away from God, who perhaps put in front of me bad images, who perhaps say to me bad jokes? Do I like this company? It's one thing if you're at school and work and you can't escape them, but at least I don't be friends with them. I don't sit at the table with them, because they will certainly yani, bring you down. I can't expect to come and repent if none of this is changing. I have to hate evil to really could have yani, this sincere and fruitful repentance. The sincere desire to struggle against sin. We can come, and coming confession is not just coming identifying what is wrong, but it ought to be coupled with repentance, which is the desire to change. So the repentance we do in our room by ourselves before we come to sit with Abuna for confession. And this repentance part is, I wish that I do not do this again, because I want to keep the body and the Holy Spirit that is within me pure. The gift that God has given me, I want it to be pure and keep it such. So I want to come and confess, and I hate the sin, and I desire to struggle against it. This, my beloved, will give us a fruitful repentance. If we come and approach repentance with faith, and we come and we desire to change the life and the way that we've been walking, this will give us a fruitful repentance. If I judge myself, this will give us a fruitful repentance. If I accept the consequences and burden of this and take it with thanksgiving from God, this will lead to a fruitful repentance. And lastly, when I come in sincerity, really desiring to change and identify what is evil and hate it, this will lead to a fruitful repentance. May God grant you and I a fruitful repentance all the days of our life. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.